Beautiful. Thank you. Welcome. So today I'm very privileged to be here with Ashira Hart. And Ashira, tell us a bit about yourself. We're just hearing some of the beautiful music from one of your instruments.
Yeah. Well, I started off in sound back in the 90s. And it actually came out of being a singer. I was a singer, started as a jazz singer, and I basically got that sound was really potent, and I saw how music brought people together, helped people celebrate, getting their bodies dance, move, come together, and I thought, well, if sound's really potent, then maybe there's something that we can use to help humanity, because I see humanity walking around very disconnected in different ways. We're either disconnected from our bodies, we're not grounded, we're in our heads, or we're disconnected from each other, so we're not in a harmonious way every day of our lives. Or we're disconnected from the earth, so we're not in tune with what she needs, we're trashing our own backyard. And ultimately, on a deeper level, I feel that we're in a place of suffering, feeling disconnected from the divine, so we feel we're not loved and that no one's really here for us. So I was asking a question. It was actually when I was recording here in Australia back in 2001. And I was recording this album, creating, and it's called In Our Mother's Tongue, but it was creating tracks which tuned to a different musical key, to a different organ in the body. And the intention of the album was to help people get in their bodies so that if they made contact and more in tune with themselves, they'd make better decisions. So we actually have...
Okay, well, let me just backtrack a sec there. So what you're basically doing is healing through sound.
Yeah.
And so what are the basic sort of understandings or underpinnings of this modality? Like, I guess I've done a lot of interviews with people over the years looking at, you know, counterculture and festival culture, and we're looking at the way people come together. But you're really interesting, because what you're all about here is what brings us together, not just the community, but the music that binds. And yes, even deeper than music, it's the power of sound and then vibration as a healing modality. Could you give us a bit of the background of
all that? Yeah, that's a great question. And yeah, for those of you who are listening who don't know what sound, its potential is everything's vibration. Everything within us and outside us is vibration. And a lot of the vibrations we're hearing are very damaging to the body, or they create stress in the body. They stop grounding us. Things like mobile phones, cordless phones, Wi-Fi, smart meters.
What? Why is that? Is that just the EMF they give off, or is there something about the frequency itself?
It's a combination of both things. Yeah, and it's affecting our brain activity. So we're not running at optimum, and we do actually get very stressed because of that.
So what's the optimum brain frequency?
Well, the optimum brain frequency is when we're connected to the Schumann resonance. So that's the 7.83 hertz, which is the ionosphere of the planet.
All right, wait, let's just slow down for some people here. So the Schumann resonance, named after the guy who
found it.
This resonance. And what does that mean, this resonance? So what is the 7.83, but what is that?
Yeah, so if you look at the ionosphere of the planet, which is where lightning occurs around the planet, there's a vibration, a standing wave, if you like, of 7.83 hertz. And what's really interesting is that the brain in its waking state is about 8 hertz. Mm. So our brains naturally connect to the earth. We are connected to the earth. Mm. So if that's interrupted, then it creates stress in the body. And in fact, astronauts, when they went into space, all of them got sick. The first spaceship that went up. And what they found was the body went into this separation anxiety. Mm. So now all spaceships that go into space, they have a Schumann generator.
Really?
So that the body feels it's still connected to the earth.
That's brilliant. Yeah. So that brings up some interesting things. So basically, you know, consciousness itself is altered by vibration.
Yes.
Because it is vibration.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so there's also been, just on that astronaut riff, there's been many astronauts who report feelings of transcendence and feelings of unity and this cosmic sort of connection when being out beyond the gravity, you know, pit of the earth. But that's probably hit by cosmic ray level.
Yeah, for sure.
But it'd be vibration as well.
Yeah, definitely. Because you can actually, NASA recorded, in the 80s, they sent a space Voyager into orbit. And they recorded all the planetary bodies and said, well, there's no sound in space, but there's vibrations. And they recorded the sound of those vibrations hitting the solar winds of our planet and indeed other planets. And, you know, NASA then put those out. Neuroacoustic.com has amazing recordings of Jupiter's moon, Sphere of Io, or even the sound of the Earth. And it's like angels. It's so beautiful.
So celestial, literally. Yeah,
literally.
So that brings up interesting in questions. So, like, if we listen to, say, the vibrational frequencies of, you know, Jupiter's moon, what does that do to our consciousness? Because the Earth's vibrational frequency is what we're bonded to, but it would be, you know, what would that be doing?
Well, in astrology, if we look at astrology, Jupiter is all about expansion. And if you if you listen to Jupiter and Sphere of Io particularly, which is one of its moons, it's very, very expansive. And what's beautiful about it, it speaks at a level which you can't necessarily go, oh, it's this and this and this. You just feel this real amazing shift and a knowing of, oh, I recognise that. Even though if I said to you, oh, you know, or you asked me, what's Jupiter's moon like? You know, you couldn't put it into words. But the body recognises it. There's a connection.
It reminds me a bit of the idea of vibrational medicine and flower essences. You know, it's vibration, but absolutely, we're doing this with the vibration of different planetary bodies. And
that's it.
Wow, okay. Yeah. All right, so we're going back to the Earth and the Schumann resonance and the ionosphere.
Yeah. And so, you know, for me, I'm looking at, you know, I was asking that question when I was recording. Is there a sound or a series of sounds we can actually give to the body that can help heal this disconnection? So we get more in tune. We go, oh, I don't want to eat that, and I want to drink more water, or I need to be more loving with myself or with someone else or whatever. I was asking this question silently. I wasn't asking it to anyone. And then I went back to San Francisco where I was living at the time, working with Chris Decker doing Earth Dance. And I met my mentor within 2 weeks. Bam, I met this amazing man, Randy Masters, who's got me into the frequencies of the solfeggio. And what I realized is they are a sonic form of the laws of nature and the laws of the universe. So for anyone who knows the language of nature, it's the Fibonacci sequence and all the great masters like Da Vinci, all the architects, they worked with the golden mean.
Just give us some definitions here. So the Fibonacci code or sequence is...
Yeah, so it starts with 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, and the sequence works with you adding the previous and the current number to the next one to add to the next crate. And this is a language that you find in pine cones or you find in flowers. You'll find all those numbers represented in nature.
Is it? Sorry, I'm just trying to. I understand that, but is it? I've seen that represented in the pine cone and the seashell, but it's usually the things with the curve. Is
the
it?
Fibonacci spiral.
Is that making the spiral? Is that what makes the spiral, or is it a deeper thing?
Yeah, and that's what makes a spiral when you start working with the ratio 1.618, and what the frequencies of the solfeggio are. They are that in sound, so they're like the blueprint of life. So I say to people, I call it the system software. So if we imagine an IT guy comes to you and he says, oh man, your system's fried, you know, you need to defrag your hard drive, you've got viruses on there, you know, the computer's sick, literally, our body's sick, and you need to reload your system software, that's going to sort you out. And what the frequencies do, it's like they're giving you your blueprint. So I say to people, who would we be without our fear and all our conditioning, all our programming, all the limitations that we've created in our lives and all those disconnections? We'd be amazing. We'd be super in tune. We'd
be aligned.
We'd be telepathic. We are naturally telepathic. A lot of people don't admit that.
On that riff, do you just give us a bit of information about, you know, I mentioned EMF before, but I guess like vibrational dissonance is an issue as well in the modern world. You're talking about mobile phones and things like that. Someone told me recently there's something about the frequency of, I don't know if it's modern music, or there's something that there was a natural resonance which was shifted to a different...
Oh, yeah. So they're probably referring to the Schumann resonance. Greg Braden put out some work talking about this. There's no science to prove that's really accurate. The Berkeley University monitor the Schumann resonance daily, and it does fluctuate, but it hasn't.
I think it was Schumann resonance. I think it was something that was music is recorded in the West, in the Western.
Oh, that's tuning. Yeah,
the tuning thing is it's a different speed or frequency.
Yes, most concert pitch is 440 standard in the West, But 432 is actually what a lot of musicians are tuning into, and indeed, you know, creating all their albums. There's lots of bands really getting switched on to that now.
And why do they do that? What's the?
It's more gentle for the body. 440 is kind of, it creates more stress, and it's just more harmonious. There are older, what would you call them? Composers like, I think Mozart was a big fan of 432 and Bach. A lot of those composers, they were very interested in creating something which is closer to nature. I mean, a musical tuning is not what the frequencies are. A lot of people think, oh, I can retune my whole instrument to solfeggio. You can't, because it's a mathematical scale and it doesn't work like a musical scale. So it's important to know that. And it's, you know, it's working at the atomic structure of the DNA. You know, it speaks to the bones in our body, and it speaks to every cell, because it's based on that whole fractal blueprint.
Wow. All right, well, so tell us a little bit about this, the healing work you do with the
frequencies. Well, I love to empower people to become their own healer. And one of the things I really love to do is body sonics. And it's working with this tuning fork and this frequency, which is 528. And this was hidden. It was encoded, actually, in the movie Inception. I don't know if you saw that.
I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio. He swings open the hotel room door, and it's got 528 on the hotel room door. So it's interesting that they picked that up. But, so using that frequency and guiding people to take it into their body and saying, okay, choose part of your body you want to focus on, or an old injury. And had some amazing results. And this one chap I taught in Michigan last year, he'd had an injury of surgery which had gone wrong. He'd had nerve damage, and basically the nerves had they'd healed, but back in the wrong way. And so it wasn't working correctly. And then he had two subsequent injuries, and as a result of that, he lost feeling in his hands. He couldn't use his tools in his workshop, and he couldn't play his guitar. So it was quite miserable, and this has been going on for about 45 years at this point. So I'm guiding him, plus a whole group of others, and bearing in mind this is an introductory session. And so we're taking this frequency with the voice, so tuning it. You know, so
what we've got here is a metal tuning fork.
This is a tuning fork, and this is 528. So we're going, or for men at home, it would be the lower harmonic, which would be, and so I'm guiding people to take that into the body, to where they feel they want to put it. And because we've got our intention and we've got our spirit connected to the voice, we can be hugely powerful with our intention. So, and people can work with that tone, and they can move it around. So instead of just doing they can do and really just allow the body to show us, because if we ask that question, body, how do I heal this, body will is bursting to show us. And we can use sacred symbol, we can use color, which is all vibration as well.
It makes me think, though, do you think, like, vibration, this is, We met, remember?
Yes.
In Peru.
Yeah.
In the Amazon at an ayahuasca lodge.
Yeah.
With Norma Panduro.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking then of Icaros and of the what they say is the vibrational essences, and they're dialing up, you know, the different spirit forms, and they're telling them their vibrational code.
Yeah.
And it's the vibration of the plant or the spirit, which is then transmitted through the song of the shaman or the curandero for the healing of the patient.
Yes.
And it strikes me that in that cosmology, vibration becomes a carrier wave for intent.
Absolutely.
And so what you're saying here is the same thing, is that when we can utilize these frequencies, and that creates the vibrational carrier wave that permeates the body or the material world thing there, but then the intent can travel through that vibrational wave to conduct the healing.
Yeah, absolutely. And what was amazing with him is that he actually, he after the session, 48 hours later, he's on the email, "Oh my God, you've changed my life." And I said, what happened? And he said, "I can't believe it. I went to use a tool subconsciously in his workshop that he can never use, but he suddenly found, oh my God, I can use it, and I can feel, you know, in my fingers." And
so the body repositioned itself, the nerves in that instance,
absolutely.
Anecdotally, but at least there was a definitive healing.
Yeah, and on top of that, 48 hours later, all the scar tissue had healed as well.
So you think if the body's it's defaulting to the OS is defaulting back to factory settings.
That's it.
Restore to default. Restore to default. Yeah. And so sound can do that. Wow. And so tell us, we also talked, we did a recording, an original discussion about the power of frequencies and sound healing at the Eclipse Festival at a panel discussion back in November 2012, but it was very drowned out by the festival itself.
Yeah.
But there were some other people on that panel as well, but I was very excited because we were talking about the potential, in archaic senses, but also modern senses of sound healing and using vibration to affect things at a distance.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit more about, you've had an example of one-on-one sound healing, but what are some of the other applications of this sound technology?
Well, many things. I mean, for me, like I said, I feel that they're a very good tool that we have. I've done work with the Shift Network, which is for Summer of Peace, doing a global meditation. I just recently did that. And that was beautiful. That went really well.
So you do your sound healing and broadcast out on a...
Yeah, exactly. It went out. It was...
internet?
It was a 30,000... it's a network of 30,000 people who were tuning in. I don't know how many people were on the call. But... and also, of course, Earth Dance. Because Earth Dance, I work with a lady called Judy Cole in the States. And you've got musical tuning versus the frequencies, which in a way are the... They're the new vibration, but they're the ancient, most ancient vibration, because the universe has been here forever, or pretty much. So
you know how we're saying the Schumann resonance changes, and then there's been reports that the Schumann resonance is increasing or changing, and then there's been other scientific reports saying, no, it's a fluctuation, but it's not really.
Yeah.
The hippies are running wild with it, thinking there's some ascension thing, you know. But is there any scientific, foundation of the fact that we're talking about different celestial spheres and they've got different vibrations, but is there an overarching shift in, solar system or galactic? Can we tell anything from the data about, is there a galactic resonance, Schumann resonance type thing, and is that changing or is that...
Yeah, I guess I'm not really tuned in on those levels. I do know that there's other research showing, for example, that kids are being born with 24 codons of DNA instead of 20, which is very, very interesting because 24 is the language of the solfeggio, and 24 is what the Fibonacci sequence repeats at. It's 24 faces of the macabre field, the light field around the body. 24 is also the code for geometric code for Christ, 888. So 24, and here I want to clarify, Christ is not about Christianity, but about Christ consciousness, which is just being a loving, respectful, peaceful human being.
Cosmic consciousness. Yeah.
And coming back to Peru, I actually had a shaman there tell me that the solfeggio is like a sonic version of ayahuasca. So for those of you who might be listening who've felt the call to do ayahuasca but feel a little bit nervous, you can do the frequencies instead.
Well, see, that's what ayahuasca, does raise your vibration, and it opens up many different potentials and modalities, but it's all about the vibration again, once your vibration's raised and opened and your, brain receiver's receiving more of the signal, which is always out there, you're seeing more of the entities and spirits, and you're open to the visionary realm. And
yeah, and it's turning on the DNA. I mean, I feel like I remember, I don't get visions, but I remember doing a ceremony with one shaman, and in fact, you probably know him, Kevin.
Kevin Furness.
Yeah, yeah.
How was that?
Yeah, it was amazing. And he did a tobacco prayer into the medicine. And there was, I got visions and I saw pulsing rainbow light. And because the frequencies are about activating the rainbow light body, we're moving into that place of full spectrum, full access to all our light. I feel that they're very much the same thing.
It's funny that the best visions I've ever had were thanks to Kevin as well in the ceremony with him. He said the spirits were like, they did a retcon on me and had a look, and they're like, all right, your third eye's like a corkscrew wound like three or four times, I think it was to the left, but it was sort of the wrong way, and they had to unwind it.
Oh, wow.
And then boom, just visions everywhere. So.
Oh, amazing. Interesting.
So, you mentioned their full spectrum. That's just a little, sonic trigger for me there. There's a not so famous American military program called Full Spectrum Dominance. And it's a program which looks at all the different modalities which exist and says that the American empire and might must dominate in every field if it's to retain its edge and its, you know, its command over the world, basically.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, because there's been different patents and different devices and inventions used by the military, and, you know, sound is amongst them. They've used to disperse crowds. There's the tanks, which release this vibration, and it reportedly makes people, like, poo in their pants or their bowels go or they, you know, but using sound as a weapon. And I find that so interesting. It's frightening, but it's potential. And as you say, these archaic techniques and technologies come back, and if they are, if they have any, you know, validity at all, and they seem like they do, then it's not just the Love and Light Brigade which might be using the power of sound.
No, and it's interesting. I actually got approached by someone who shall remain nameless, but he was quite high up in the Ministry of Defence in the UK, and he knows a lot about, you know, what they've been doing with sound, and indeed the Russians, they've all been doing it, working at it, and you know, a lot of people might know about HARP. There's a lot of technologies designed to, shall we say, disconnect us. And so I was asking him, I said, so what do you think is the biggest key we have and the biggest tool we have available to us other than, you know, frequencies like solfeggio? What else can we do? We're in a crowd and that's going on. He said transparency. And it was very interesting he chose that word, because I teach that as well. And so I say to people, imagine your body's transparent. Because if I put my hand up to your hand and you push against my hand, and if I have no resistance, then that energy that's pushing at me, a bit like Aikido, you know, there's no resistance. Therefore, there's nothing to grab hold of. So in moments of, it's a bit like body going into pain. If we breathe into the pain rather than contract on it, down on it, then we can actually let the energy shift. And I remember I was at Splendor recently, and I had a 5-hour headache, and it wasn't in my temples or in my third eye. It was actually directly in the centre of my head. And I was like, what is going on? And I knew there was a mobile phone mast on site, but I didn't know where it was. I woke up the next morning, and it's 300 metres away from me. And I was like, oh. So it began this whole meditation on transparency and really working with softening the body, and at the point where I'm trying to resist and contract, I just went into, you know, opening, softening. And
well, many people really have expressed, wariness or, you know, about the mobile phone towers and things like that. So you're saying that there is whatever frequency they're on, is that damaging in your opinion, or can be?
Yes. I mean, there's a lot of research that shows this. Dr. Neil Cherry's done a lot of work. He's a New Zealand physicist and researcher. And there's also there's a great website to check out, HESE Project, HESE-project.org. This is a website which has completely uncensored, independent research, because a lot of the stuff we see in the media is actually industry-funded, it's not independent, and it's often skewed to give a positive result. There's so much research out there. Disconnect, the book by Dr. Deborah Davis, which is out, also talks about the damage of mobile phones. You know, the German government, which is where a lot of this research is coming, because they're not censored over there, they even say don't have a mobile, don't even own one. And if you think about our lives and how we live...
That's crazy, because most of the planet, there's like, you know, more than 7 billion mobile phones, I'd say, around the planet.
3G, going to 4G, and now 5G.
So what does it do? What are the effects of...
It's genotoxic, which means it's toxic to the genes, to the DNA. There's lots of tests showing DNA mutating in the presence of mobile phones. They've even done...
Because of the EMF?
Yeah.
Or the frequency itself?
Yeah, well, both. They've, you know, done tests where they just put a simple cordless phone in a beehive, and none of the bees have come back. And people wonder about why are colonies all across the world collapsing. Yes, it might be to because of pesticides, and that would surely be an indicator, would definitely be, you know, an aspect. But it's definitely frequency, because bees, they navigate to the flower, not because, oh, they know that, you know, there's one down here. They navigate because the vibration of the flower is sending out
through vibration. Wow,
and
yeah.
And they can't find it if the whole field is.
So, you know, as well as being, you know, harmful to the human body and to the genetic vibrational structure, what do you think it's doing to the planetary vibration? You know, when you've got so many, when we've got billions of mobile phones,
yeah,
and creating this, you know, complete cloud around the earth, this whole thing, like what?
I would definitely say it's damaging. I mean, there's certainly tests where they've you can see in certain areas where the mobile phones masts are present. Noel Orchard, who's developed Plasmonics, which is against radiation, amazing, amazing technology. You know, a lot of trees debark. They literally, you know, that they get damaged. Their bark gets damaged, and the whole bark just sheds because it's just an unnatural thing. Crop yields are appalling. You've got all the sonic pollution that the whales and dolphins are subjected to, and indeed
they're beaching, and yeah,
you know, all of that. I mean, that's very sad, and that. Yeah, so I mean, it's creating a field where we are so bombarded that, you know, cancer is 1 in 2 now. It used to be 1 in 2,000, you know, wow. And that's only like 60 years ago. So you have to ask yourself, well, why is that? Okay, we've got a toxic lifestyle, but we're also bombarded by frequencies, and they're not natural, you know, they're not harmonious. It's also been found that you can you can change the carrier signal of the mobile phone, and you can actually make it healing.
Really?
So if all the mobile,
why don't they do that?
Like, well, why don't they do that? It's a very good point. Mm. Very good point.
So how would we do that? If can people do that with their own phones themselves?
Have to be the mobile phone companies.
So what frequency do they operate on, or what?
I'm not sure what the carrier wave, and I think it depends on providers.
Mm.
Because
they're allocated different bits of the spectrum.
Yeah. Also that.
Because our bodies are like, you know, 90%, 70 or 90% water, and we're electromagnetic frequency carriers and attractors and
that's it.
Mediums for this.
Yeah, and the frequencies of the solfeggio, what they do is they speak to the Balmer constant of hydrogen. So they're actually speaking to the water in the body, and they're helping us harmonize that water. So for me, you know, I almost could write a book and call, you know, solfeggio the antidote, you know, because it is a way back to ourselves. It rebalances the hemispheres of the brain. It helps boost endorphins in the body. And because all this technology is making us depressed, because our energy is suppressed by it and our bodies are sick because of it, it's a very good way of helping the body reconnect and, you know, get back in balance so we can actually really feel. Because I think a lot of us numb ourselves out with food. You know, a lot of the Western-based diet is very, you know, meat, wheat, dairy. All of this clogs our system up, so we can't really feel. So we can't feel ourselves, we can't feel each other. And, you know, and also I think it's because we're protecting ourselves, because we don't want to feel all that vibration that's going on. You know, I mean, I remember in London, I can turn on my laptop and put AirPort on, and, you know, I can
40
get
different wireless signals surrounding you.
So many, and I've got three or four mobile phone masts right, you know, within a mile of my house.
Well, those little things that some people have on their mobile phones and computers, where they're like metallic things that are meant to reflect or dampen the energy.
There's a lot of woo-woo science out there, and I honestly say to people, really do your research. I have connected with a company who, amazingly, after all these years of having mobiles, have finally put out a case. And it can go for Androids and iPhones, also for iPads, and it's a case that boosts the battery life, it boosts the signal, but it decreases radiation by 90%.
Wow.
And I've got a friend of mine who's a biomedical engineer. He's looked at the research and he said it's absolutely solid.
Great.
And he's been telling everyone. So the company's Pong Research. Pong as in the smell. It's pongresearch.com. So if you are concerned and you're listening, you know, get one of those cases. And, you know, if you've got kids, don't let them use it you know, not on airport mode. Airport mode's really important. When the kids are gaming in the back seat, it's really important. You know, technology's great, but if we're not using it, you know, sensitively and responsibly, often because we don't know.
Do you want to give us another little, can you maybe do some of the frequencies? Well, you were doing it before, but like...
Sure, yeah, well, what I'm going to play is 396 and 528. 396 is all about... Yeah, the crows like that one. 396 is all about helping the body ground. It's about helping clear fear from the body, stress. So for anyone listening, if you can open the channels in your feet, take some nice deep breaths into your belly, relax the out breath, a few sighs. Just imagine your body is transparent.
So good, thank you.
No.
I don't know if the listeners can get that on the quality of this recording. They get that same vibrational charge, but that reminds me when you're thirsty and you know and you drink water and the cells, yeah. You just like you feel it going in, you feel it nurturing. That was the same feeling I got from that.
Yes.
That healing, then. Thank you. Hey, so tell me what are the origins of this? We're talking about all the different frequencies and how this is an archaic thing coming back. What cultures in history do we know have used this? And I guess what more mythological or what more, going further back in
Yeah, before that's history? A great question. Well, there are sound chambers like in Ireland. There's the, what's it called? Newgrange. And it's basically a sound chamber. And they've done tests where they've gone in with special equipment to find what the standing wave is. in the, so the predominant vibration, and they found that it's between 110 and 112 hertz, and the mean of that, the average of that, is 111, which is what the solfeggio works with. And there's also been the same standing wave found present in the Hypogeum in Malta, which is an underground ceremonial chamber. Wayland Smithy in the UK also has this standing wave. And I'm sure over time we'll find, you know,
I think at Machu Picchu they've got some of the inner walls there, and they've got like the sound chambers in the walls there. Right, as well.
Okay, I've never been there. It'd be interesting. I mean, I think it's a new field for a lot of people in terms of the research.
But it's something that all these ancient cultures have used, and not just one. It seems like across the world, different cultures have understood the power of sound.
Yeah, and if you look at the basis of what the frequencies are mapped on in terms of the mathematical blueprint, it's the prime number cross, and that as a symbol is present in pretty much every culture on the planet.
Really? The prime number cross.
Which is the rose cross, it's the Kabbalah cross, it's the Celtic cross, it's the Druid cross, it's the Kala Chakra, it's the four quarter tube in American Indian, it's the Ethiopian cross, it's the Coptic cross. It's, you know, so many cultures have that. And Princeton University and also UCLA, when the standing wave was found at Newgrange, or in fact I think it was in Malta, they did research, what's the effect of 111 hertz on the brain? And what they found was it's, it deactivates the speech centre, so it really encourages an inward focus. Mm. And it speaks to the part of the brain, it switches on the part of the brain that relates to empathy. Mm. And I think that, wow, you know, it's like if we look at our culture and we see how a lot of it's broken down in sense it's like a me culture. Mm. I feel like the frequencies are giving that opportunity to have more empathy for myself, and then I can have it for others. And so that actually fosters a better sense of community, because then we're more in tune with each other and we're more loving and we get more connected because of that.
You know, that they say that, well, there's different cultures that have different understandings of cyclic time, and, you know, in the Indian cosmology, I guess there's the idea that we're in the Kali Yuga, or this, this Iron Age, or this last phase before we go full circle again into a new Golden Age.
Yeah.
But that makes me think that perhaps over larger scales of time, perhaps the frequencies are changing, or the resonant, the Schumann resonance, I mean, because consciousness itself is embedded within the pool of frequency within different world ages. And so on some levels, you know, the consciousness that creates things like the Western culture we've got and the technologies we've got that we've said can be damaging on different levels, it's still a default mechanism of the level of consciousness available to it from the frequencies that are being naturally, you know, emitted.
I suppose I feel definitely the Earth is shifting vibration. But I don't know of any research which is actually showing, you know, because the Schumann resonance is the aura, you know, of the planet. But, you know, and we know that the revolution of the Earth around the Sun, for example, is 136.1, which is a very good grounding frequency, and acutonics use that. It's very, very good for the body, you know, like these are. But it would be interesting to see if there is research actually showing.
Well, it would have to be probably more the galactic orbit and the fact that we're getting bombarded with different frequencies as well as within our own Earth frequency, you know, in that time.
Yeah, and the solar activity, because that's really going through the roof now as well, isn't it? Yeah.
So we're talking about all these different, you know, cultures that have practiced sound healing and frequency awareness, I guess. It makes me just think that, you know, this idea of this early golden age or something like that, that we have had cultures which live in unity, I guess, in frequency unification with the planet and with each other and with cultures, and all these ideas of golden age might be frequency related.
Yeah, I think if we look at indigenous culture versus the Western culture, we've gone so far away from the earth. And you know, what's beautiful about sound is it bypasses the doubting mind. It speaks directly to the body, gives the body an experience of oneness, and gives us the opportunity to find our way back to the earth. Because if we were in balance with the earth, then we have a future here. But right now, our culture isn't sustainable as it is. And as many beautiful things that technology gives us, we have to address, well, if it's not harmonious for the body and it's not actually harmonious for nature, that doesn't work, and so we can't keep doing that. And it's kind of like a little, you know, a little child not thinking ahead and just going, oh, yeah, but this feels great right now. But it's like, what about our children? We have to be responsible here. So
tell me where the modern science of, you know, frequencies and sonic healing is going. You know, you're obviously a practitioner and you've mentioned some of the other players around the world and companies that are utilizing technologies. It seems like it's coming in around the edges, but is there a movement of this? Is there awareness in the larger populace?
There's I think a lot of people think that the solfeggio is new. You know, it isn't. It's just, you know, newly presented, if you like. And, you know, if we look at 111 hertz as a frequency, where has that been used? Well, the Russians have been using it for insomnia since the 40s. It then got picked up and used for CES, which is a therapy for depression, self-esteem, insomnia as well. And then more recently, there's Dr. Meg Patterson, she's used it for heroin addiction. Pete Townsend got off heroin in 1983. Yeah, using 111 hertz, using the therapy called NET. So for a lot of people thinking that it's new, wow, no, you know, the medical world's already using it. So I envisage that, you know, I would like to see sound as one of the major healing modalities in every major hospital across the planet, because, you know, if we give something naturally vibrating to the body and we combine that with a detox protocol, we can actually have someone heal completely with non-invasive techniques and something which is safe for the body, and there's no side effects. Mm. You know, you might get a toxic die-off if viruses are getting eliminated or fungi or molds out of the body, but ultimately the body is having something which is really harmonious for it, you know. Mm. And that's what I'm interested in. And I think slowly people are switching on to.
Just tell us briefly about, there's a lot of different internet sites where you can download different types of music that can change consciousness and things. I think there's one called iDosa. And it's almost, aimed more at the youth culture market. But this idea that you can, you know, change brain states almost like recreational drugs, but through sound, so that you download, you know, the program, then you have different sounds.
Yes.
And it's meant to have an effect on the body, the mind and the body.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how exactly, you know,
brain states, it works. Brain states can definitely help. The frequencies, they give you a theta brainwave state, which is a place of deep relaxation. But in addition, they're giving you a DNA activation. They're giving you a heart rebalancing. They're giving you a mental hemispheric, you know, rebalancing in the brain. And they help you feel good because they're giving you endorphins. So they're giving you far more than just a brainwave state. So they'd be my choice.
Hey, another guy you might have met back in 2006 and through, did you meet Dr. Juan Acosta? He was doing a lot of brainwave experiments, right, with MRI scans and EEG, quantitative electroencephalography scans.
Okay. Yeah.
But I met him at the MAPS conference again in April, right? And he had the data set from these Quig experiments he did on me.
Yeah.
But what he was saying, this interesting thing, is that one of the last comments I didn't pick up on, he was saying that there's two different machines. There's the Quig and the MRI, and there's something else. And he was saying, not only can you map it, but then theoretically, you can now, with whatever the technology is, that data set, you can then project onto someone else, and theoretically they can then experience your data set through vibration. It's all vibration again.
Well, that's a bit like the research that David Wilcock talks about with the salamander DNA, and using the imprint of that and projecting it through light into
that's some Russian into another technology, egg. Isn't it?
That was Gariev, I think, did that. And you know, the Global Consciousness Project has also monitored Earth Dance, because Earth Dance and I was the original coordinator for the first 4 years, and you know, more recently Judy and I, Judy does beautiful work with lasers and with moving geometry, so we've created a visual for Earth Dance, which has been monitored by the Global Consciousness Project to show a shift in consciousness on the planet. You know, a bit like meditating, people have shown the drop in violence, you know, in a certain city when people have really focused light. So it's a beautiful tool.
Do you think that's the next wave? Is that if these potentials are there, and things like Earth Dancing, saying the shift project you're working with, and if we can be broadcasting these frequencies to people that are receptive to them en masse through the internet, through global link-ups, then we could be affecting large segments of the human species at the same time.
Yes, and I also believe every time I do a sonic enchantment sound bath, that those vibrations are going out. You know, I certainly set my intention that they're going out, because they will naturally, a bit like a ripple in the pond, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well, like ripples on the pond. Thank you so much, Ashira Hart.
Thank you. Let me just
take us out one last little sound bath.